بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, your brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. As we speak right now, the 22nd Winter Olympic Games have just begun. The opening ceremonies have been going on in Sochi, in Russia. Athletes from 88 countries will be taking part in this event, and they will all be racing towards, aiming for, hopefully and ideally for them, the gold medal, or at the very least, for getting on the podium with a silver or a bronze. Some will be quite literally racing to the finish line. Others will be judged on their style and their performance, depending on the sport in which they are in. Now, there's no question that making it to the Olympics, and especially getting on the podium as a winner, definitely is no joke. And of course, it requires years and years of training. And not just training casually, but training with discipline and training with dedication and very strong ambitions and a very strong work ethic. And this, in fact, is true in our lives as well. Generally, we see that ourselves and people spend years preparing for life. So we spend years getting an education. We want to make sure our children go to the best schools and they get the best education so that they can have a comfortable and fulfilling life, so that they can be prepared and we ourselves can also be prepared to be winners in life. Nobody likes to be a loser, and nobody plans to be a loser or aspires to be a loser. Everyone wants to be a winner. So we make the decisions that we think will enable us, will give us the opportunity to be winners in life. So we have struggles in choosing the right education for a rewarding career when we go through our studies, or perhaps, you know, joining together our nights and our days to establish a successful business, or working hard, sometimes multiple jobs, to own a house or to set up a comfortable and a generous pension and a retirement fund. So we spend a large portion of our lives preparing for those things, which are important because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us in Islam, we are taught generally that we have to work hard for the things which are halal. We have to work hard to discharge and fulfill our responsibilities, our needs. And of course, there's a difference between needs and wants. But to fulfill our needs, to feed and clothe our families, and to have appropriate dwellings and shelter, not to be dependent on others and asking others for help and assistance, and spending appropriately with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. So we are taught to do this, and this is good, and there is nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we start treating the purchases of homes and cars and our careers even like Olympic sports, right? So we tire ourselves with discipline and dedication, not so that we can have a decent or a reasonable place to live and a decent and reasonable car that we can drive and a decent income, but sometimes we find that it becomes our ambition. It becomes our ambition to be on top when it comes to these things within our circle of friends or within our family or our profession. Right? So we start spending that time and that dedication and that effort, not because it's our duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who are our dependents, but instead to fulfill our desire for this ambition and our desire to have more and our greed. So yes, All of these things, so working and studying, all of these things we are doing and that we plan to do and we try to do, they all can be an act of worship. Right? They all can be an act of worship because, you know, it's generally when we talk about these things, the thing that comes to mind sometimes is, you know, why is there this differentiation? It is all worship. We are here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and He has given us these responsibilities. So if I'm working, I'm doing an act of worship. If I'm, you know, feeding my family, it's an act of worship. Yes, it is. And they can all be an act of worship if one does them while respecting the guidance and the guidelines given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the right intention, with a sense of duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my brothers and sisters, I ask you, ask yourselves truly and sincerely that how much of our efforts, and this includes me as well, how much of our efforts are really for this purpose? How much of our efforts are sincerely and truly for this purpose? And how much are to satisfy our own desires and our own greed? How much of it truly is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that sincere intention? And how much of it is for ourselves and for our desires and for our greed? If you're working that hard, think about this, that if we are working that hard for something, for the things which are going to last us 70 years, 80 years maximum, 100 years, then how much harder should we be working on that which will last forever? Right? If we put so much effort and so much dedication and so much discipline into achieving the things we want to achieve, which may very well be good and legitimate, and there's no disputing that, but they're going to last for 70, 80, maximum 100 years, then how much more effort should we be putting into the things that are going to last us for an eternity? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to go for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to race for it. And He says, سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, that race towards forgiveness from your Lord. Try to get ahead. Race towards it. Don't just walk towards it lazily. Don't make it an afterthought. Race towards it. سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Right? Race towards forgiveness from your Lord. And not just that. وَجَنَّتِنَ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and a garden whose width is like the width of the heavens and the earth. It's a race towards, rush towards that garden, which has been prepared. وَعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ, prepared for those who believe in Allah and His messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and said, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ, that is the bounty of Allah which He gives to whom He wills. And Allah is the possessor of great bounty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that yes, you need to rush and move quickly towards this forgiveness, and towards this garden that He's talking about. But He is the one who gives it to whom He wills, and He is the one who possesses great bounty, not us. We are not possessors of great bounties. We only possess that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. In another surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, slightly different wording, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, and hasten to forgiveness from your Lord. مِن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَعِدَّةٍ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So similar wording, and hasten towards forgiveness from your Lord, and a garden as wide as the heavens, as the heavens and earth, prepared for the muttaqoon, وَعِدَّةٍ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So prepared for the righteous, for those who are God-fearing, for those who are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to race, to move quickly towards it and towards Jannah. And the message is that yes, don't leave it to the back of your mind. Don't make it an afterthought that when I'm done with everything else that I have to do, then I'll think about this. Or when I get old, and when I have some free time and I retire, then I'm going to think about it. No, it's race towards it and race towards it now. It may seem to you like it is far away. It may seem like what is coming up, what you have planned in your mind is a lot closer. But don't let that fool you, because then in fact, it is a lot closer than you think. So move towards it quickly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second ayah that I mentioned says that this has been prepared, the Jannah has been prepared, وَعِدَّةٍ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, for the righteous, for the God-fearing, for the God-conscious. And this is especially relevant, I want to point this out, right now, because we are almost in the midway point, or just past the midway point between the two Ramadans. Okay, so we have passed just about 6 months, just over 5.5 months from last Ramadan, and we have just under 5.5 months or so until the next Ramadan. And this is the time when the pious people of the past would switch from making dua for the acceptance of the deeds that they had done in the past Ramadan, and they would now start making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives them the ability and the opportunity to witness next Ramadan. So this is the time when the transition in the dua would happen. Because half the year or so has gone by now since last Ramadan, and we have just about the same time left until next Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds, and may He make us among those who witness many more Ramadans, inshaAllah. So in Ramadan, when we fast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that one of the primary purposes for the fasting, for the siyam, for the sawm, is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that we can develop taqwa, so that we can become people who are conscious and fearful, have the reverent fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here as well, we are reminded about taqwa. And after this verse, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to race and hasten towards forgiveness and towards Jannah, which has been prepared for the muttaqoon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us some qualities of the people of taqwa, right? We sometimes mention that we don't really have a taqwa-meter that we can go around and put around someone and check how much taqwa they have, right? We can't do that because it's in the heart, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that best. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us some qualities of the people of taqwa. So if you find this quality or these qualities in some of the believers, then you know that at least they have some element of taqwa inside them, and they may very well have more as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and He says that these are the people الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. So the first quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this place, and there are more, is that they are those who spend in the cause of Allah فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. They spend during ease and hardship. So at times of ease, when they are comfortable and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them and they don't have any problems, they spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also in times of difficulty as well. Depending on their situation and on their abilities, they still, even if it's a little bit, even if it's a few dollars, even if it's a few hours, because it doesn't have to be money. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that it has to be wealth that you spend. Right, it can be your labor, it could be your time, your energy, your brain power. So whatever it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they spend in both when they're in during times of ease and during times of difficulty. So that's the first one, first quality. Second quality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of these muttaqoon, والكاظمين الغيظ, that they are those who restrain their anger. There are those who diffuse their anger. They restrain their anger. So when they start feeling angry, they control themselves. They hold themselves down. They try to extinguish it. And the Prophet ﷺ has given us advice on how to do that as well. That if you're standing, you should sit down. If you're sitting down, you lie down, you make wudu, you drink water. Say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. So these are the people who try to restrain that. Yes, they get angry. Everyone gets angry. But they try to restrain and control their anger. وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْبِ. Thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and those who pardon the people. وَلَعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, that yes, there are times when they have issues in their relationships and people wrong them or something is done to them or they are offended. Yes, this does happen. But وَلَعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, they are those who pardon the people. So when someone makes a mistake and says sorry to them, or even if they don't, they don't hold on to grudges for long. They easily forgive people and they grant forgiveness to people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and Allah loves the doers of good. So they do all of this because they have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This causes them to spend in the way of Allah in times of ease and in times of difficulty. This causes them to control and restrain their anger. This also leads them to forgive people and pardon people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He loves those who do good. Then He goes on and gives some more qualities, right, of the muttaqoon, or you could say of those who do good. Okay, so these are the qualities you want to adopt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, and those who when they commit an immorality or they wrong themselves. And how does one wrong oneself, it's through transgression. By doing things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. When we do that, we are not hurting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'yadu billah. We are hurting ourselves. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in those who, when they commit an immorality or wrong themselves, and this also tells us that yes, even those who do good and even those who have taqwa can sometimes, because they're human beings, can sometimes commit an act which is immoral. Or they can make mistakes and do things where they're wronging themselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the solution to that. That if that happens, what do? They ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. What do? They remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they seek the forgiveness of Allah for their sins. Okay, so the people who are pious, the people who are righteous, the people who do good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, what is another quality of theirs? Is that when they commit an act of transgression, or when they commit an act of fahisha, of immorality, which of course was present back then, but of course is a lot higher now, right? Because of our situation, and we all know that very well. So what do? When they go through that, yes, they are human beings, they make mistakes, they remember Allah. Immediately they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they seek forgiveness for their sins. They don't pile up their sins till Ramadan. Okay, when Ramadan is going to come, I'm going to do a wholesale deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then I'm going to say that, oh Allah, you know, I've done a lot, now you forgive me, and then I'm good and until next Ramadan. They don't pile up their sins until they go for Hajj or for Umrah, that okay, when I go there, then I'm going to ask for forgiveness and then I'll be good. Okay, they don't say that, okay, let me go for Hajj when I'm 70 years old, when I'm 60 years old, so that I'll have a lot of sins by then. And by then, if I'm wiped clean, then that will be really worth it. Right, for the amount of effort and money I'm going to spend to go for Hajj. So that's not their attitude. The moment they make a mistake, they realize it, and they remember Allah, and they seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That who can forgive sins except Allah? Right? Who can forgive sins except Allah? Right? It's not a person who's going to forgive the sins. It's not someone in their graves who's going to forgive sins. It's not anyone else. It's not me. It's not an imam. It's not a scholar. No one else who's going to do it. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can forgive the sins. So establish your connection with Allah and seek forgiveness from Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then finally says, وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. That, and they are the ones who do not persist in what they have done while they know. They do not persist in doing, in what they have done while they know. So when they find out that something is wrong, when they find out that something is incorrect, they don't continue to persist upon doing that. Now it's one thing that if somebody, you know, we find out that something is wrong and we try to avoid it, and then we fall into that trap and we do it again, and we're really trying our best and we keep falling and tripping. That's human nature, that happens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will forgive a person every time, even if they were to sin 70 times a day, if they were sincerely repenting after that and trying their best. Okay, but a person, after knowing that something is wrong, the quality of these people is that they don't go ahead acting like nothing happened. Right? They're not careless towards transgression. They're not careless towards sin. So when they know that something is wrong, then they really try to avoid it, and they don't persist in doing it once they have found out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and what is the result of all of this? What is the result of all of this? أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. That those, their reward is forgiveness from their Lord. وَجَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And gardens beneath which rivers flow, meaning a jannah. وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. And excellent is the reward of the righteous workers. What's the type of reward? It's not mediocre, it's not, you know, stale, it's not something which is an afterthought, but rather it is an excellent reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to those who have these qualities. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that you race towards these things. Right? Work hard in doing good. Become a person of taqwa and live it practically. Taqwa is not just in the heart, in the masjid. Right? Taqwa is something that is practical. It's all encompassing. It's in the heart, but it's also in the mind, and it's also in the actions and in one's relationships. So live by it practically and make it a priority. And this is the focus of what I'm saying. Make it a priority, because a lot of what I'm saying is probably like, okay, we know this already. Yes, we know it. But the point is that it must be a priority, not an afterthought, something that we live by, not just turn to when we have nothing else to do. Not just something that we say, okay, you know, I've been busy, I've had no time, all right, now I've got nothing to do, the wife's away, my husband's away, the kids are away, there's nothing to do, I'm sitting at home. Okay, maybe I'll spend a few minutes and do tawbah, or I'll do some istighfar, or I'll think of doing something good. No, it should not be an afterthought. It should be a priority. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ سَبْعًا, that hasten to do good deeds before you are overtaken by one of the seven afflictions. Hasten, right? Don't just sit around and be lazy about it, but rush towards it, move towards it quickly to do good deeds before you are overtaken by one of the seven afflictions. And what is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about? And there's a number of narrations which are similar, but that bring up different issues or different afflictions or different problems or trials. And this one, this is what he mentions. He gives the warning of, are you waiting for such poverty which will make you unmindful of devotion? Are you waiting for such poverty which will make you unmindful of devotion? Or prosperity which will make you corrupt? Is that what you're waiting for? Or disease as will disable you? Or such senility as will make you mentally unstable? Or sudden death? Or a Dajjal who is the worst expected absence? Or the hour? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Awis-sa'ah fas-sa'atu adha wa amar," taking words from the Quran, that and the hour will be most grievous and most bitter. Right? So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the ability and the opportunity to do good, to turn towards Him and do the deeds which please Him, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for one of these things to come? And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. But we have no control over these things. And when they come, then we know what can happen and how our lives can completely change. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have given us great encouragement to hurry and to rush towards that which is good. So my dear brothers and sisters, as we watch and we hear about the Olympics and the athletes and all of those who have put so much effort, such a tremendous effort and discipline and dedication into being where they are today, let us think about our effort and our dedication that we are putting and need to put into taking us where we really and truly want to be. Right? These athletes wanted to be in the Olympics. They want to win gold. And win, they all want to win gold. Right? They say the hardest thing to win is silver. Right? Because you say only if, you know, sort of. But, and then bronze, they're just happy because they're not poor. Right? So these athletes who have worked so hard to be there, right, and trained for years, and with dedication and with discipline and put so much effort into it, and are totally focused on getting onto the podium, right? They put so much into it for what they really wanted, right? And that's great for them, but let's think about what effort and dedication we are putting into where we truly want to be, and how hard are we going towards that? You know, is it an afterthought, right? Are we inclined towards the things which we like to do and we run towards those, right? So if there is a sports event happening, right, at 4 a.m. in the morning, we'll make sure we get up at 3:30 and we're ready in front of the TV at 4 o'clock. Right? But when time for Fajr comes around, or if it's, you know, an opportunity to offer the Tahajjud prayer, right, what's happening? If there's an event going on, right, we know that there's going to be remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something good being discussed. Are we there, or do we have a thousand excuses not to be there? But if at that same time there's another event going on, which may be totally devoid of any spirituality and any remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perhaps even filled with immorality and all types of indecency, are we the first ones there leading the pack? Right? What is our attitude? This is a question for us to ask ourselves. And if the answer doesn't seem right to you, then the next question is, what is the solution? What is the solution? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and the understanding to make pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attaining Jannah our top priority. Right? This doesn't mean that we disregard life altogether, as I've mentioned many times before. But we need that balance. And we have to ask ourselves, do we really have that balance in our life? Where we are balanced in our focus for our needs of this life and our true desire for the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those who strive to be at the forefront of that which pleases Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in everything that is good and protect us from everything which is evil and which is bad. We have a request for dua from one of my young friends, or one of our youths, Suleiman Khan, who has mentioned that his grandmother, Shaheen Khan, has gone through a triple bypass surgery, which went well, alhamdulillah, but the recovery ahead is a bit tough. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make dua that He grants her speedy and a painless recovery, inshaAllah, makes it easy for the family and gives us all energy for whatever is to come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure all of those who are ill. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of those from us who have passed away. Ameen wa akhira da'wana. Alhamdulillah.